You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people. But somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast, with more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live, inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.
How you doing? It's Safety Words for Tuesday, February 24th, 2026. So just a little bit of note, we're going to be doing a watch party on Rumble with the State of the Union party. State of the Union program tonight for February 24th, 2026. We'll see how it goes here. First time I'm doing this with a live event. It will be broadcast on Rumble, because, you know, you do it on the other platform, YouTube, pretty good freaking chance you're gonna get booted, there. And just as a reminder, we have, anything broadcast from Congress is non-copyrightable. So if there's any, well, that's a violation of copyrights, no, it isn't. With that, but anyway, what are we talking about today? We're getting back to Department of Labor and EPA type stuff today, and at the tail end, if I run out of time, we'll go into some of the other stuff. Our programming last week. Now, let me start out by saying, congratulations, all of Team USA, the hockey team is really good, men's and women's. A little bit of controversy there, because a lot of the women. It was like considered an afterthought, and maybe there's some truth to that, to go to the White House and get an invite from President Trump. And the men's team was there today. Oh, well, there. So a couple of things making the round on social media, and like our intro says, we're not usually part of the story. Sometimes we are. So every year about this time for the last 5 years, 5 years already, there is a thing going out with a umpire at the Rockland Boulders game getting thrown out of the game. There's always a debate. Oh, was the person thrown out or not? Was the umpire thrown out? Did he make contact? Did he do this? Did he do that? Okay, I'm here to tell you this. You see this story going on? We do. We were involved in that. My wife and son and daughter were at the game, first baseline, about 20 foot, right? We're front row, front, right behind the dugout. And this happened, like, right in the front of them. Did the umpire make contact? The answer is absolutely yes. Did make contact with the player and was subsequently thrown out, resulting in an hour and a half long delay there. Now, again, why is... we covered the... I've always said here, here and elsewhere that the right, this whole thing, protect your children. Wherever there are children gathered, you have, I'm going to put it right out there, I'm going to say it, perverts out there. You're going to have people out there, whether they are teachers, clergy, any number of things. An old coach of mine, right, from track and field, ended up in a sting with the police, ended up spending like 5 years in jail for messing around. And this was one of my college coaches, ended up out there in 5 years in jail for a situation with that. And here, it's a part of a larger network. I'm going to tell you, if the people are looking at inappropriate movies dealing with children, we'll leave it at that, right, to get past the filters here. If they're doing, chances are there is somebody in there with that. So, for example, a lot of these sports my children are involved in, right, they put up no parents allowed in there. They said, look, we can guarantee our staff background checks, drug tests, you name it, we do it here. Everything. We don't know who's coming in here. How do we know a parent? What are we going to do? We have 300 children signed up here for whatever sport program. We're going to check. We can't have everybody here, right, watching practice, especially with the young women here, their sports teams. Wherever there are children, there are these people. You're not going to get around it. And even though they may not be formally part of a network, which I'm telling you, there's a global network here with these situations. They are part of it because if they're getting, if they're being customers, they are. So, I mean, some of the stories that are out there, I absolutely believe. I'm involved in a case that goes all the way back to my high school days here with this situation. I can't go into it. But I tell you what, there is, because they had a network set up in the community that I lived in. They meaning certain adults. Again, I'm not a victim of that. I'm the victim, and I don't claim victim status here. Just to make it, rampant abuse, psychological, because of Cliff Lift and Cliff Hallin, what I had to deal with. It's all the same shit, how people go through psychological abuse and psychological abuse. It's just a matter of degree of how bad it is with that. And to physically abuse a child, you have to be first psychologically abuse them, manipulate them, and everything else. And as I have pointed out numerous times on this show, the media is manipulating your mind. We had a show on that last week where we included that. Constant manipulation again and again and again and again with that. So, that's what we're talking about and today, but we're going to talk about Department of Labor. If we get to the other stuff, we will, and then we'll try to do the State of the Union right after, so we're broadcasting live on Safety FM, then right after that, we're going to switch on over to Rumble, and you know, it's like 20 minutes of coming out and shaking hands and stuff with this, and I'll be on the air probably around 2 hours with that, or, you know, at a certain point, I got to go to bed. I'm up at 5:30 every morning. So with that, and we'll go from there. And let's just kick it off here.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Yeah, and here we have, right, going back to that, I never shared the story. Here we have ex-New Jersey mayor indicted for drugging, and I will mention it, but doing stuff with a boy will be arraigned next week. Right in my neighborhood, Bergen County, right, one county south. I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't want to go dark here. Jim, you're going to... I don't know. That's part of the safety words, protecting children. And plus, every major sporting event, right, out there. Super Bowl, now the World Cup is coming, Olympics coming in 2028. And if you're working at a hotel, you go through training now. My wife, because of what she does for a living, had to go through training. How do you spot human trafficking? I don't know. It's one of those things there. So hold on. I got to do something real quick here. I'm going to go to commercial break real briefly and take care of that here. We got a little bit of the sniffles here.
Unpredictable world. One voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Polzo, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Polzo and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
All right, we are back. I'm sorry about that. This is live radio here, and sometimes things happen. You know, and I was talking, thinking about this over the weekend. Here with... with the whole weather situation. I mean, in my locality, and I don't care what the official totals are, but in Rockland County, New York, we got about 2 foot of snow, roughly. Some parts down, you know, less, some more. And no, I'm out on a project today in parts unknown. I will mention where that are. No, they said, well, if you go near the water, it's this amount. If you go here, it's this amount, and we had 2 inches of ice. I was like, wow, we're about, you know, with that. So it varied. Now, again, we're talking about manipulation. Look at the manipulation we just saw here. Well, what do you mean, Jim, manipulation? Look at the manipulation we just saw. We just experienced for the last week and a half. Snowstorm coming. Be prepared, it's coming, be prepared. Oh no, be prepared, it's coming. Oh yeah. All right, here is what it is. Yes, should you be prepared? Yeah, I'll be the first person to tell you, every September. Disaster Preparation Month. Be prepared for those disasters. We may give you some other programs throughout the year on that. Be prepared, yes. And no, they said, now that one is done. Now we're going to have another one on Thursday. And then a week from now, another 20 inches. Again, this is manipulation. How many times do we have to see? People are watching this. Around the board. They're dumbfounded on the TV, on the damn phone. Oh, Oh, look at us. Look at us. Oh, there's going to be, yeah, there's snowing outside. It's going to be a big thing. Stand by. We got a message or whatever that it's a state of emergency coming. This is, these are restrictions, blah, 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 blah. Go about, well, they have people glued there, getting upset, getting anxieties, and everything else. Well, Jim, they got to be prepared, and not everybody's going to be on the phone all the time, their TV all the time, blah, 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 blah. Really? How about you be prepared and be empowered? That's what we're about. What Safety Words about is empowering people. It's not to freak anybody out or anything like that. It's about empowering people to do the right thing. Empowering people to protect themselves. Empowering people for everything else that they need to do. And that's what we're all about here on Safety Words. Empowering you. Empowering your community. I don't know, it's just ridiculous, the stuff that's going on. Now, okay, Department of Labor News, that's where we were. All right, so it's been updated several times. Let's do a share screen here, and we'll go from there. There we are. Right now, you can... we're going to hear about it. Jim, you know, Jay Allen's going to hear about it. Oh, Jim, man. Oh, I'm going to calm down. I'm not going to calm down. I love Jay. And you know, he's usually right. I got to calm down. But, you know, nobody else is, nobody else gets this. Now, here's the other thing here. What are we doing here? And I know I'm jumping around here. What are we doing here? I mean, it's like I'm riddled with ADD today, ADHD today. Here, make safety exciting. How's that? There's a novel concept for you. And with that, you know, this March 1st, next week, coming right up, what do we have? Safety Love Songs, available on YouTube and Spotify and on Apple Music. You guys, you cannot continue, you safety folks. Boring. Right? Boring. Content. Blah, 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 blah. You can't do that. Right? It's like a former acquaintance of mine, Reed Buckley, William F. Buckley's brother. He had the school is still there in Salem, South Carolina, I think it is. The Buckley School. If your content is boring, if your content is dry, if your content doesn't draw that person in, the audience in, that's your own fault. That's not the material's fault. Here. Really, it isn't. You got to, you know, again, does the person in the audience feel empowered? I hope I'm empowering you with knowledge, with support. I've been there before, chances are, with what you're dealing with. So let's go back to the Department of Labor. U.S. Department of Labor cites Alabama contractor for exposing workers to sewage gas. We mentioned this last week with us, and they are, as it says on here, the information on some news releases may not reflect the current or final status of a case. I think that they did this because of this program here with that, because I have called up on occasion and say, hey, what's the full story? Well, you got to do a Freedom of Information Act request, or you got to wait here until this is settled to find out more. A U.S. Department of Labor investigation found numerous safety hazards at a mobile work site where Construction Labor Services Incorporated workers were exposed to sewage gases, resulting in two fatalities. We covered this last week. That, we believe, is a temporary employment service. So three construction labor services workers were installing and repairing sewer lines inside of a manhole when they were overcome by sewer gas and became unresponsive. One worker regained consciousness, managed to self-rescue the other two workers to succumb to their injuries. And OSHA cited them with Proposed totals at $257,707. The website has not been updated as of today. So let's talk about this here. Is this a permit required confined space? Likely not, unless they're actually entering the sewer pipe, but this sounds more like an excavation or a trench. And what people forget is that an excavation or a trench needs to have air monitoring. It needs to be assessed. You need to develop things. So, for example, the ladder to get out, the egress has got to be within 25 feet of the workers. And you have to do an assessment. You can't just say, well, we do this. I hear this all the time. Well, we do this all the time, and we've never run into a problem. Well, one, maybe you're lucky. Number two, maybe this isn't the same situation you see all the time. And number three, the law says you have to assess the hazards. Let's go and assess the hazards. Really, with this. So, what do you do? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go with an excavation. You have a permit. You assist them with that, or at least an inspection system. If you're at a chemical plant, oil refinery, anything like that, they normally have all excavations are considered permit required confined spaces, at least where I've worked. Number one. Number two is, even if it isn't, an excavation has to have an assessment. And that assessment has to be written, and it has to be assessed by a competent person. Competent person is somebody who is able to make determinations, do an assessment, and is empowered to correct them. Real simple. It gets a little bit more than that, but that's basically it. Now, if this was in a, I don't know what the outlook is here in Alabama. I'm not making accusations, but I can tell you, if this was New York and this was New Mexico, if this was California and a couple of other states, there would be likely a criminal investigation here. And I'm going to assume that there's a criminal investigation because there was a fatality. And if this was in the states I mentioned and a lot of other ones, competent person didn't do their job. Guess what? Competent person's on the hook and is probably has their rear end in a sling right about now. Here with this, and number one, number two, with that, the company has a problem. Number three, the person with the most problem are the survivors of the family members, friends, the community of wherever this person, these people lived, and this person lived, right? That's where the problem is. That's where, with this, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you on this kind of stuff. Where this is like 2026 and we're still doing this kind of crap. I mean, I really don't get it. I really don't. I would love to know what the context is. Here we have another one from February 18th, last week. U.S. Department of Labor cites two Pennsylvania employers with serious safety violations following a 2025 Clairton Coke Works explosion. Right? So they went to federal safety inspectors and determined that United States Steel Corps failed to use required safety management and energy control practices, that's lockout, tagout, fellas, for hazardous work involving flammable gas. OSHA also included that cleaning services contractor of MPW Industrial Services failed to provide a relief valve for a high-pressure water system and did not coordinate energy control practices for hazardous work involving flammable gas. Seven serious and one other than serious violation for United States Steel proposed at $118,214. The agency cited MPW Industrial Services with four serious and other than serious safety violations and proposed penalties of $61,473. Again, lockout, tagout. Apparently with this, and injured 12 workers and claimed the lives of two employees. Who's paying the price on this? The family, who's paying the price on all of this? The family members here who are no longer there, and I'm sorry, I gotta get that off. Hold on. Yes, I do use iMovie to actually go and right with that. Yeah. Again, it's the families with this. And now I had a conversation over the weekend on the internet with a fellow safety professional who was asked, going through all this stuff. The company doesn't listen to me. The company doesn't do this. Company doesn't do that. And everyone's in there doing this, that, and the other thing. Well, you can, at all points of view are valid on that thread. However, right, don't think that a company that violates Department of Labor law, OSHA, is not violating many other laws. I'm sorry. Trust my way. I'm not alleging these companies are doing anything illegal or immoral, but it's just been my experience that often a company, especially a smaller company, they're breaking one safety law, they're breaking an EPA law, they're breaking all different other types of stuff going on there, and watch out is all I have to say. With that, again, I mean, I don't get it here. With that, here you go, February 24th. U.S. Department of Labor cites three companies after hazardous gas exposure fatally injures workers at a Colorado dairy farm. OSHA's investigation found that on August 20th, a pipe in the manure management system at Prospect Ranch recovered this when this happened, releasing manure, water, and hydrogen sulfide gas. Contractors Fisk and HG Builders were hired to perform work on the system. A Fisk employee and a Prospect Ranch employee attempted to stop the flow but were overcome by the gas. Consequently, three more Fisk employees and one Prospect Ranch employee entered the pump room, which led to the total loss of total of six workers. HG Builders employees were present but unharmed. And they were OSHA cited the Prospect Ranch for serious violations, including failure to protect. These are all proposed. Workers from atmospheric hazards, have a written HAZCOM program, and train workers on methods to detect hazardous gases. Company faces $132,406. The agency also cited Fisk for serious violations, including failure to protect employees from hazardous atmospheres, failure to provide hydrogen sulfide detection training. OSHA proposed $99,306 in penalties. HE Builders was cited for violations, including failure to have a written HAZCOM program, failure to provide training in detecting H2S, for which OSHA proposed $4,897. Again, all very simple things. How much does a hydrogen sulfide monitor go for? Usually you get them as four or five gas things. So you would be measuring for oxygen, because oxygen's most important. Oxygen, without oxygen, none of this shit works. Number one. Number two is going to give you a lower explosive limit. Number three, hydrogen sulfide. Lower explosive limit, typically the industry standard for non-confined space entry is usually 10%, like it is for confined space entry. And then what happens is at 10% of the lower explosive limit, that's the limit in air where something becomes explosive. So you want 10% of that. And what ends up happening is, what ends up happening with all of this stuff is this. How much do those monitors go for? They start at about $800, $900 last I checked, last time I had to buy one. They are available for rental. They're available for sales. If you're selling that stuff and you're looking for a plug, give us a call here, 845-269-5772. I will give you a plug for that, for a price, right? Ad revenue here. But again, no excuse for this. We're talking minimal amounts of training. Even if you go the minimum compliance route, you know, it's good. And then the other thing is this. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go through the hierarchy of controls and try to eliminate these hazards. Because guess what? If you don't eliminate them, you're still there with the monitor. You're still being exposed, even though that's better than not having a monitor with that. Again, I don't get it. I don't get it. Again, this seems like, here, let's see. Okay, sewage gas. Here we have something else with sewage gas, or Colorado, right? With manure pit of some sort. Now, here we go, another one. We have another agricultural one. Federal investigators find Illinois grain silo operator violated safety standards after worker suffers injury. Federal safety investigators have found a Central Illinois grain company endanger workers and violated federal law by failing to properly guard and lock out and tag out dangerous machinery during grain bin entry, which led to seasonal labor. Again, seasonal. Big one. Ah, oh, we don't have to worry. We're not going to invest in it. He's only in here for the season. What do we need? Right? Doesn't matter. Right? Violated federal law by failing to properly guard and lock out and tag out dangerous machinery during grain bin entry, which led to a seasonal laborer suffering from a serious foot injury. Now, depending on what you're doing, this may or may not be a permit requiring confined space on here. Since this appears to be a agricultural thing, I'm not too sure on that, but maybe you wouldn't have to treat it as a permit required confined space. However, there is stuff for grain operations and everything with that, but would be the equivalent of a permit required confined space on here. I don't know how the laws are. I have to see the actual thing, the actual citations here. OSHA issued 2 willful, 1 serious, and 3 other than serious citations for failing to lock out or tag on machinery, protect workers from stepping into some holes, and provide grain handling training to employees. Additionally, the employer failed to issue permits prior to bin entry. Okay, so according to this, apparently there is confined space, a permit required confined space. Utilize an observer outside the bin. You need an attendant. Ensure the bin's atmosphere was tested before workers entered with this. So $276,407. And let's remind everybody is innocent until proven guilty. All of these things, I'm just basing them on the publicly available press releases here, right? Here they are with this. And I'm just, again, non-copyright. I'm not going to even go and, I mean, they have stuff in here with everything. And let's remember, you're a safety professional. You make recommendations. They end up firing you or penalizing you and everything. That's like you might have a federal, might, I'm not sure. I'm not an attorney. Have a Federal Whistleblower Act violation there with that. Oh, yeah. That's why it's important to make sure you save those emails, folks. With that. All right. And I tell you what, let's go to commercial break here, and we'll come on right on back to you.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at SafetyWars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamer emers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Polzel and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
This is going to blow your mind. There's a new daytime talk show on your local cable access station. What happens when safety, scandal, and heartbreak collide? Welcome to Safety Wars, the talk show. Today's episode is a doozy. Imagine confronting your unsafe supervisor who just happens to be your ex-wife's new hubby. Talk about a powder keg. But wait, there's more. We've got an exclusive interview with a corporate exec who's taken out life insurance policies on his riskiest workers, hoping to cash in on a deadly mishap. Yup, you heard that right. It's a real-life plot twist you can't make up. Tune in as Jim Posel, CSP, our very own Jerry Springer of Safety, dives deep into this explosive confrontation. Sparks will fly and secrets will be exposed. Catch the full episode on Safety Wars on YouTube and your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss out on the drama that could save your life. Like and share now, and stay safe, folks.
Yes, I was trying to get that on. I don't know why. I like that. It's like a Western Adventure is the title of the song. Yes, we are back. Been a while since we put that in. You know, we kind of redo this stuff. I can't believe that we're coming up on our anniversary next week. What is it, 527 programs? Usually these things, and I believe it was Jay Allen that said this, so great Jay Allen, the head of our network here, who said, now most of this shit doesn't last after 20 episodes, because people realize that is real work. Here we are 520-some episodes later. Yes, it is real work. And it is hard, you know. So you hear these radio talk show hosts, let's say, and they have guest hosts on. Oh, yeah, I'm going on vacation, so we're going to have this. And they say, well, how much stuff should I have? And the person says, bring it all. Bring everything. Have more than what you need. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, really? And then they do one program. They're like, oh, son of a gun. They're about halfway through. They ran out. Let's go to the callers. You know? They run out of material. There is a lot of stuff going on here. So we have not, there's a lot of material you can get through this. So we're going to head on over to the US EPA, EPA.gov. Let's see what's going on over there. And we haven't been here for a while. So the last time we were here is on the 12th on President Trump and Administrator Zeldin deliver single largest deregulatory action. That's when they basically decided that CO2, carbon dioxide, not carbon monoxide, the carbon dioxide was no longer a human threat to human health. Here's some of the thing right from February 13th. Leaders and Americans across the country applaud the single largest act of deregulation in history with this. I don't know if we covered with this here, but everybody's, you know, of course, everybody's saying how wonderful this is. And I notice an R after their name here with this. And a lot of the other, a lot of other organizations here with this, energy-related sectors that are nonpartisan, things saying, oh, how wonderful this is. Okay, well, we'll see what this is. And what's my position? I'm not saying that Safety FM is that it's real simple. Public choice, the public choice theory. There were funds available for all this research and everything else starting in the summer of 1987. And this was talked about a couple of years prior to that because you had somebody named Al Gore, who was a senator from Tennessee, who was running for president and he needed a platform. And this was the platform that he had. And he developed all different types of stuff, wrote a book, Earth in the Balance. And this was all the stuff to foster his political career. And once some funding became available, guess what? He keep on pushing this stuff again and again and again until he became vice president. And it really went into a big, long history there. And they ended up... Right, funding was available. So guess what? This is where it was going to be. Hey, if you say this is global warming is a horrible thing, guess what? There's going to be somebody out there. There's going to be somebody out there who's going to got this money available, because we do know research dollars drive a lot of this stuff. And then in 2001, when the IPCC report came in, I believe the one before that was 1996. again, there is evidence. I documented it in graduate school. Other people documented there's evidence of maybe this is politically motivated here for various reasons. I mean, if they're willing to go, and they, I mean the globalist leaders, are willing to do stuff with children like we've been talking about for the last two or three programs, they're willing to do almost anything, these people, with this. Right? Everyone, yeah, it was like the biggest Columbus egg in history. Yeah. Oh, there's a global network of pedophiles out there. Yeah. Well, everybody knows that. Well, people have been saying that for a long time. Have been criticized when marginalized. Well, guess what? It was all, I'm not saying Epstein allegedly did everything, but it was one of the nexuses here. Well, they're willing to do anything with this stuff. But anyway, I digress with that. It's all tainted, it seems like. I'm sorry. I'm not calling people evil. A lot of, they sincerely believe that. They're well-intentioned, morally upstanding people that get wrapped into this stuff. Just like on the other side with the anti-global climate change people. Same thing. Oh, well, hey, if I can work for an oil company, I can work for an industry that pushes it. Guess what? I'm going to do it. You got to put food on the table. You got to pay that mortgage. Got to have a place to live. Guess what? The money's available. They're going to do it. Now you got the public choice theory going the other way with this. And who's in the middle is all of us being freaking manipulated as usual with this. Now, here we have another press release from the 13th here. US EPA, this is from their road region 1 office. The US EPA will conduct comprehensive reviews of completed cleanup work at 8 national NPL Superfund sites across New England this week, this year. So periodically, there's 5-year reviews on Superfund sites, NPL sites, and NPL sites. And again, when you're done doing these cleanups, there's often long-term monitoring with this. Very rarely is there, oh, we're going to do the cleanup, and then we're going to go, and we're going to leave it be, and there it goes. There's always some kind of ongoing monitoring. I am aware of some sites where there is not ongoing monitoring with that, but this is it, basically. Callahan Mine, Coakley Landfill, Durham Metals, Eastern Surplus, Pine Street Canal, and Savage Municipal Water Supply. Let's look on that one since it's a municipal water supply. And let's remember the PRPs for most job sites do include the government. EPA to review cleanups here, blah, blah, blah. Press release here. And this is Savage Municipal Water Supply, Milford. And what's the updates on here? All right, they mentioned here site documents. Key documents. And looks like 2017 is the last document here with the, okay, so let's see here. Cleanup activities, there we go. Background, this site includes VOCs and metals groundwater plume that generally extends from the intersection of Route 101 and Elm Street eastward to approximately 6,000 feet. It is roughly bounded on the north side and it goes on and on and on. Major contaminants of concern include benzene, 1,1-dichloroethylene, and a very long list of stuff. Site and surrounding area is generally flat. Residents are located north of operating unit 1. And 4 industrial plants are situated to the west of previously operational Savage municipal water supply. And from the 1940s until the 1980s, processed waters and waste from these 4 industrial sites were released untreated into the ground or to the surface waters flowing through the site. And then starting 1983, they started doing, which is about the time frame, and what's been done. It was such a danger that 16 years later, they started the cleanup, right? and went on and on and on. And again, quarterly ground war assembly in deep bedrock walls will continue until July 24. And then, again, being, what's the current site? Its site is being addressed through federal, state, and settling defendants' actions. There are currently no unacceptable risks to human receptors or the environment. A municipal water supply provides potable water. I'm just reading them as it is, folks. A municipal water supply provides potable water for the residential commercial properties impacted by a contaminated flume. Sampling is conducted on a regular basis to ensure that existing residential bedrock wells are not impacted by contamination from the site. No contamination has been detected in any residential bedrock wells have been sampled in or near the site. There. And again, they have use limitations, everything. That's how this goes here. So what does that mean? You can go over here to Superfund site, the Superfund website, epa.gov/Superfund, and they have, here you go, sites where you live. Right, you click on that link, and you have National Priorities List, Superfund of alternative approach sites. So the NPL list here is the I forget how many sites it is, but here's the map. These are all the NPL sites, National Priorities List sites, and with that. So let's go over here to select a state. Let's go over to New Jersey. Go. And here are all of the sites in New Jersey that are on National Priority List and Superfund Alternative Approach sites. Let's see. Sparta Township. There's one. Bridgewater, Millington, Sayreville. This one I'm familiar with, Atlantic Resources. That's right in my, almost my hometown. Berkeley Township, Howell Township, Frick Township, Bridgeport. And there are, oh, wow, what a surprise, 158 things. So here we have Marlboro Township, Burnt Fly Bog, Edison, a chemical insecticide core. Let's see, what else? This is all where I used to live. Anything? Okay. So here we have Federal Aviation Administration Tech Center. That's right by Richard Stockton College of New Jersey, where I went to college. Here we have Emil Septic Landfill over in Galloway Township. That is exactly where I went to college. Let's go. What's going on over at Emil's there? Do we have anything there? Emil's landfill, septic landfill site encompasses 38 acres in Galloway Township. The site was a landfill which operated from 1967 to 1979 and accepted septic and sewage sludge. Here. I know we got people from Stockton listening here. Newark, here. This is a project I worked on. Diamond Alkali, right on Raymond Boulevard. Am I getting off the subject? No. EPA conducted the sixth fifth-year review of the cleanup, right, on 80 and 120 Lister Avenue. I said Raymond Boulevard. It's like right there. It's all, like, the same with that. And this was... And had dioxin there, 2,378-TCDD. That's dichloryl, diphenyl, trichloroethane. You trichloroethane. I don't want it. Trichloroethane. DDT and other chemicals. Now, what happened was, this was an interesting one here with this. It had PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, metals, and pesticides. Now, if you are going on the New Jersey Turnpike South, right before exit 15, on the Meadowlands side. If you recall back in the 80s, and seven, right, 80s and 90s and 70s, they had gone and put a lot of the material from that site into portable shipping containers, old ones, decommissioned ones. They got them. And they had these things loaded with stuff, right, from the site. And then what ended up happening, I'm not telling anybody that's not saying anything that's not on the public record, all right? And what they ended up happening was they stored the stuff in there until they could get their ducks in a row, right, or I should say stage. And then what they ended up doing was moving when it was time to do the actual cleanup, everything was put in situ in there, in that. So with that, and again, they're on the fine. I worked in there a long, 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 long time ago with that. So you could see that right from the New Jersey Turnpike South. There used to be a whole bunch of containers. Now it's just a graveled-in area right before exit 15 south, exit 15 southbound on the Meadowlands side. What else we have here? Manville, that was another job I was on for a couple of days. With that, Higgins Disposal. This is another one that I've been on, the Higgins Disposal site. I really can't go into that because that was with that. And basically, here, you can read this right here, right on this. With that, what's been done? And this was the one I was involved in. Excavation of 34,000 tons of contaminated material, 16,000 containers of laboratory glassware, plastic, and metal containers and drums from the on-site landfill. Guess who was in charge of logging all those in? 16,000. Jimmy, you logged in the 16,000? Yeah, I logged in and took pictures of everyone too, every one of those too, on 35 millimeter film. Moto Photo loved us with that. 16,000 photos. It was actually more photos because you have job site photos, but a lot of stuff out there with that. Again, we're reminiscing here. A lot of super fun work out here from my younger days. And what's my point? My point is this, with this. Why do I discuss this? We're problem solvers here. These sites all had their issues, had their safety issues, had their environmental issues. So we overcame every one of them. Every one of those problems was overcome. And that's what we're talking about here. How do you overcome problems? How do you feel empowered? How do you do everything? You know, that's part of what we do here with this. Come up with solutions. Don't always, you know, make safety exciting here with us. So that's super fun. They're, right, they're doing with that. And EPA had a whole public meeting today. Discuss technical assistance needs for the community water at near Hercules Superfund site with that. And this was in Atlanta. All right, so if they have anything else to report, we'll do that. There was another one, I thought, here. EPA announces a path forward to revamp the Clean School Bus Program to provide safe, affordable, and efficient transportation for America's youth. If you recall, if you're a longtime listener, Biden administration was out there promoting, right, all of the buses to be alternative fuel buses, right? Since 2021, the Biden-era program has forced unsafe and unreliable electric buses onto American schools. There are multiple well-documented examples, one particular bus manufacturer failing to deliver buses altogether, despite preemptively receiving tens of millions of tax dollars from this program. To fix these issues, the Trump EPA will seek public input on the availability, cost, and performance of alternative school buses and technologies. This feedback will help reform the program to bring back consumer choice back to buses, deliver results for American families while fulfilling the congressional intent. Right, poor management, according to Administrator Lee Zeldin. Poor management, clean school bus program has been a disaster of poor management and wasteful spending of taxpayer dollars. Right, oh, big surprise on that. And where are we time-wise? Let me check the time on here. 53 minutes after the hour. And EPA continues to reverse Democrats' war on beautiful clean coal. You got to love this. Beautiful clean coal. Finalizes a repeal of costly restrictions on baseload power generation. This is from the 20th. While at Mills Creek Power Plant in Kentucky, US EPA announced the finalization of a deregulatory action to ensure affordable, dependable energy for American families and restore American energy dominance. Today's final decision, EPA repealed by the Biden administration's 2024 amendments to the National Emission Standards for Hazardous Air Pollutants. Coal and oil-fired electrical utility steam generation units, that EGUs, a rule commonly known as the mercury and air toxic standard for power plants. By doing so, the EPA will enforce existing highly effective and robust MATS requirements, which will ensure public health and the environment are protected without compromising America's energy or economic prosperity. The final rule is expected to save an estimated $670 million with that. St. Louis area gets 10 newly trained environmental workers through an EPA grant. Today, the US EPA Region 7 leadership visited St. Louis to congratulate 10 graduates of the St. Louis Community College Brownfields Environmental Remediation Job Training Program. St. Louis Community College hosts an environmental workforce development and job training program that has trained more than 47 students since 2024, including today's 10 graduates. This program is made possible through an EPA Brownfields job training program and serves as an example of how the EPA is empowering Great American Comeback to provide clean air, land, and water to all Americans. Employers across the region are asking for trained environmental professionals, and this program answers that call. The credentialed students earn here translate directly into good jobs, economic opportunity, and everything else. Based on what I know about the environmental industry, after 40 years if you include what I worked with my uncle in high school, we'll see. Here, right, St. Louis Community College's Brownfields Environmental Remediation Job Training Program is tuition-free for accepted students. The program provides 20 licenses and certifications, including high-demand certifications, such as 40-hour HAZWOPER, OSHA 10-hour construction and safety. That's outreach. Let me put it to you this way. We supply those. We do those here. You don't have to go to that program. You could go to us. Asbestos abatement and lead abatement and more with that. Again, we can't guarantee you a job, but we got a lot to say about that. Well, we're going to save that for another show here. For the Safety FM Network and Safety Wars, again, we're coming right on up on Rumble at the Safety Wars on Rumble. Right after this. This is Jim Polzel signing off. I hope to see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
is strapped tight, ain't no joke. Got a hold steady, can't let it choke. Don't rock the safety boat. Keep it smooth, keep it afloat. Dance on that, but don't provoke. Don't rock the safety boat. Don't rock the safety boat. Tapping fast, dicks getting slick. Moonlight flashing shadows play their tricks. Hold the line, baby, don't let it split. One wrong move and we're in the thick. Ooh, ooh. Steady hand, steady heart. Don't let the rhythm fall apart. The safety boat, keep it smooth, keep it afloat. Dance on that, but don't provoke. Don't rock the safety boat. Don't rock the safety boat.
You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people, but somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast. With more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.